whether we live or whether we die, we are never outside the realm of God's power.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, the 13th to the 18th verses of that tremendous chapter. Very familiar passage, I'm sure, for many of you that's found here in 1 Thessalonians 4, in verses 13 to 18. I want you to notice with me three insights which reflect the absolute certainty of deliverance for the Christian at Christ's coming. What do you see in those verses? I see three things. The first thing I see is, number one, we have a preview. Somebody else has undergone death and been restored to life. And it means that because Christ was delivered ultimately from death, so shall we be delivered. It makes certain our resurrection. We can be certain that the blessings which attach themselves to the coming of Christ will be enjoyed by all, even the dead in Christ will be raised to enjoy those benefits. Now, as I look at verses 13 and 14, I see this theme of certainty. And as I look at that theme of certainty, I want to share three ideas with you in verses 13 and 14. The basis, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. The statement, even so, them also, which die in Jesus or sleep in Jesus or through Jesus, will God bring with him. But you notice the result? That's stated up there in verse 13. The result of Christian certainty is that ye sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. Not only do we have a preview here, but we also have a promise. We have a promise. And that promise is in verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede or go ahead of them which are asleep. That's a promise. Do you notice the source of that promise? It's by the word of the Lord. That's the source of the promise. The source of that promise, it's by the word of the Lord. Its substance, in the simplest form, all that Paul is saying is this: far from missing the blessed events associated with Christ's coming, those who have fallen asleep through Christ because of their loyalty to Christ shall be given a place of prominence in those events. When Jesus comes again, they'll enjoy them, as well as that last living generation of Christians. Now, there's a third thing that I see in this passage, and I want to close with this thought. This is my final point. There are several ideas here, though, that I want to share with you out of this section, and that's verses 16 to 18. We have, number one, we have a preview, and that gives us a basis of powerful certainty, Christ's resurrection. We have, number two, a promise, and it's an authoritative promise. It has the authenticity and the weight and the authority of God himself behind it. It's by the word of the Lord that we understand and know these things. We have Christ's revelation. And then thirdly, we have what we might call a picture. We have a picture of the rapture of the church, Christ's return. And as I look at that picture in verses 16 to 18, I see at least five facets of that picture unfolded for us there. What are the five ingredients in that picture? Number one, we have a return. Paul says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. We have a return here, and it's the return of Jesus Christ himself. There are three thoughts suggested with respect to that return. One, there's a unique person, the Lord himself. Two, there's an urgent proclamation. He comes with a shout. And finally, there is an unusual presence. You'll have with him the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. There are two things there. There is one, a unique person, an urgent proclamation, and an unusual presence as he returns. The unique person is the Lord himself. Actually, the Greek says himself the Lord. He came the first time as a sacrificial lamb. He comes the second time as a sovereign and supreme Lord to establish his kingdom. And then, do you notice beyond this unique person, himself the Lord? There's also an urgent proclamation. The Bible says, how does he come? He comes with a shout. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Here, it's the authoritative command of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for the dead in Christ to come forth from the grave, just as Jesus came forth from the grave. One, there is a unique person, himself the Lord. Two, there is an urgent proclamation. He will come with a shout. And then finally, there is an unusual presence. Who accompanies him in his coming? Do you notice? There is the voice of the archangel, and there is the trump of God. Can I say a couple things about that? To me, as I understand the scriptures, the trumpet of God suggests a summons to a very important meeting. And the presence of the archangel, not the archangel, an archangel, it's Anarthrus, it's without the definite article. There's more than one archangel. Doesn't say who it is here. It's an archangel, one of the higher echelons in the ranks of angelic beings that populate heaven. But the presence of angelic beings suggests a security. The church will meet Christ, the Bible says, in the air. And you know, Satan happens to be the prince of the power of the air. And some have suggested, reputable scholars, have suggested that the presence of angelic beings at the rapture is designed to provide safety for the saints as they pass through the interstellar heavens. It's a demonstration of Christ's complete mastery over Satan, even on his own turf. Jesus Christ provides safety, security, and victory as the saints of God pass through the interstellar heavens. Well, you have an unusual presence. Don't have all the answers with respect to them. But one, the trumpet, I believe, suggests a summons. And two, the archangel perhaps suggests a security as the saints of God pass right through Satan's domain into the safety of an eternal heaven. But then beyond this return, do you notice in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, there's a resurrection. The Bible says that one of the results of this return is that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Last phrase of verse 16. And that means to me that our salvation is so comprehensive that it extends all the way to the body. God has a total plan for you and me. The salvation of God is holistic. It touches the spirit of a man, it touches the soul of a man, it touches the body of a man. There is a comprehensiveness attached to the salvation that Jesus Christ provides for us. That's why Paul could say to the Philippians that Jesus Christ will change your vile body, your humiliated and lowly body, a body humiliated and made lowly by the intrusion of the principle of sin. Jesus Christ will change your vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Philippians 3 and verse 21. There is a resurrection. Our salvation is a holistic thing. We are saved spirit, soul, and body. We become totally new creatures, and when Jesus comes, we're brought into entire conformity to the Son of God himself. And then thirdly, there's a rapture. Do you notice in verse 17? Then we which are alive, after the dead in Christ are resurrected, then we which are alive and remain until that coming of Christ shall be caught up together with them. There is a rapture. That word rapture is really a Latin word that's found its way into the English language. It means to be caught away. It means to be transported to another place. And it's a word that we use to characterize that expression, we shall be caught up. Harpazo is the Greek word, to be caught up. And it has several, I think, significant nuances. I'll just give you the outline of it. That word caught up, harpazo, has several significant nuances of meanings. Number one, it means abruptly. It means to catch away speedily or abruptly. It's used that way in Acts chapter 8 and verse 39. There is a suddenness, Paul says, associated with the rapture. He says, in a moment, atom, atom, smallest particle of measurement, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, just like that, abruptly. It means not only to be caught up abruptly, but it also means to be caught up powerfully. That word means to seize by force. It's used in John 6:15 in that very way. John 6 and verse 15. It means to seize by force. There is a strength associated with a rapture. It will be a display of the irresistible power of God. It means to be caught up powerfully. You know, I wonder if that implies, I'm not certain that it does, but I wonder if that implies that there are some of God's saints who will be so attached to this world that they'll be reluctant to leave it, that they'll have to be seized forcibly away from the globe. I think of Lot. Lot was that way. Lot tarried. Lot lingered in Sodom before its destruction. And finally, the angelic beings, the messengers of God that were set there, had to forcibly remove him before Sodom could be destroyed. You read it in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. So it means to be caught up powerfully. Then it means to be caught up lovingly. It's a word that means to claim for one's self. And it means that Christ will come lovingly claiming his bride. And then it means to be caught up purposefully. It means to move to a new place. It's used that way in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 4. Pilgrims and strangers, that's what we are now, will be transported to our homeland purposefully. There's purpose in this movement, in this being caught away. And then protectively. It means to be caught up protectively. It means to rescue from danger. It was used that way in Acts 23 and verse 10. It means to be caught up protectively, and it suggests the church's deliverance from the great tribulation, which will come upon the entire world following the church's removal. There comes the rapture, and we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we spend that time in heaven, and then comes this awesome judgment on the globe because of its rejection of the Messiah, before God's kingdom is ultimately established. Then, quickly, as I finish the outline, do you see the reunion in verse 17? We're caught up together with them, that is, our loved ones who've gone before us. There's a reunion with loved ones, and there's a reunion with the Lord himself. To meet the Lord in the air, that word meet means to be introduced to a personality who is royal. It's always used of royal introductions. To meet a royal personality, the great hope and hunger of the Christian is to meet Jesus Christ personally. And then there's finally a reassurance. Comfort one another, he says, with these words. Paul's words in this whole section give the assurance that the power of God will never be defeated. Whether we live or whether we die, we are never outside the realm of God's power. As we live, we're in Christ. Even in death, we're in Christ. It is very present, the immaterial part of man, alert and alive, and we'll be raised in Christ, the scripture says. When Jesus Christ comes, the great antagonist we know death to be will finally and ultimately be overcome as all of God's people share in this ultimate deliverance. That's the whole burden of 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18, an ultimate deliverance. So the question is this, are you ready for and anxiously anticipating the coming of Jesus Christ? Do you even believe in it? I believe in it with all my heart. It's in the Word of God. Are you ready for and anxiously anticipating Christ's coming? You know, for the Christian, it brings the promise of ultimate deliverance. For the man outside of Christ, it brings the promise of inevitable destruction. God has a word to Christians, and he has a word to non-Christians regarding the coming of Jesus. This is God's word to Christians. Abide in him, Christians. Be loyal to him, be faithful to him, love him and serve him. Abide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. 1 John, 2nd chapter. Now I want you to know something. Every one of us who name the name of Jesus Christ, if we've truly been born into the family of God, if we're judicially in Christ, I want you to know something. We're safe. When Christ comes, we'll be raptured. But the question is not are we safe. The question is this, will we be ashamed? Are there those things in our lives that would shame us if we were caught up today to meet the Lord in the air? And then God has a word for the non-Christian, and the word is this, the Lord is long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord, that is, the day of Christ's coming and the awesome judgment that follows, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And that's God's word for the man who doesn't know Christ. God is gracious and long-suffering and patient, and he says to you, repent, be saved, turn from your old ways, and turn to Christ and receive him as your Lord and Savior. And if you refuse to do so, be reminded of this, the day of the Lord will come. The judgment is inevitable, but God is long-suffering, he's gracious, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Every person, man and woman, young person and child, must be certain that he is prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.